Hey everybody, I'm John Meehan, and this is Talk to Me in the Car, a podcast about all things teaching related that I literally record on my way back home from work as a high school instructional coach. Today, we're talking about an executive summary of one of the biggest books in education that hopefully you've read, but if you haven't read, that's what this podcast is for. In about 10 minutes, we will give you the too long, didn't read version of like the brass tacks, the cliff notes, the spark notes, whatever you want to call it, to give you some ideas and some actionable strategies that you can put into your classroom. I would love to continue this dialogue with you. So if you are listening today and you have read this text, or if you haven't read the text and you want to get a hold of me, feel free to tweet at me. I'm on Twitter at MeehanEDU. At like the at symbol, Meehan like my last name, and EDU like teaching, because I like teaching. And I would love very much to talk to you about it. This week, we are taking a look at Carol Dweck's book, Mindset. If you are a teacher and you have not had the time, because we don't have a lot of time as teachers, I got you covered. A big part of my job as an instructional coach is I get paid to do research and reading. I travel to a bunch of different conferences, and I have a lot of time in airports and on airplanes. So I listen to books on podcasts or on audio tapes, and I read a lot. So today, I will give you the crash course version of summary through Carol Dweck's landmark work. A bit first about the book and the author. Carol Dweck is a research psychologist and professor at Stanford University. She has spent like 30 or 40 years of her life working in the field of research in human behavior and human motivation. And she published a book about maybe 10 years ago at this point, which was pretty much a watershed in the field, and she calls it Mindset, the New Psychology of Success. So we'll walk through that mindset, what it is, what it isn't, some of the applications in the classroom today, as well as some of the ways it's being misapplied, and Dweck's latest research in attempting to curb some of those bad habits that are being done in her name. If you have read Mindset, it is available on all these major platforms. There's also executive summaries of it available freely on the web, and I would encourage you to check out any of those clear visuals, because some of the visuals are just really quick, powerful. One of my favorites depicts the two mindsets that Dweck explains as if it was Yoda versus Darth Vader. These very clear things that we can kind of tap into an existing schema to make sense of. Or if you'd like to think of it in another way, maybe Draco Malfoy in the Harry Potter universe versus our hero, Harry Potter. Coming from a Slytherin, that one hurts to have to admit. But if you are familiar with Harry Potter or Star Wars, we will make references to them throughout the rest of this podcast, so I hope that doesn't turn anybody off. Now, executive summary in 30 seconds. Carol Dweck believes that there are effectively two mindsets. Her research has led her to believe, in working with children and working with research psychology, all these different tests and all these different like complex ways of scientific thinking, that basically people boil down to one of two different mindsets. They either have what they call a fixed mindset, or what she terms as a fixed mindset, where they believe that their intelligence is fixed at birth, and it's like a quota that can only be reached because they were either born with the right stuff or they don't have it. That leads to a series of things that we can talk about down the line, but that is the first of the mindsets. It's called fixed mindset. The second is what she terms as a growth mindset, and that's sort of the pop phrase that has been adapted most from her text. The growth mindset is exactly what it sounds like. These people believe that growth is a product of effort over time. They believe that there really is no high end to what they can achieve in a particular thing. And so rather than these self-limiting behaviors of I either have the right stuff or I was born without the right stuff, these people tend to just try and find that even though they may not be good at something for quite a stretch of time, their continued effort over time encourages them to keep trying, and they see those marginal gains. And they believe that even if they're not great at this today, they can be better at it, if not great, tomorrow. So what they find, the difference between the two mindsets, is there's a whole bunch of different ways that they react to challenges and adversity and struggles and obstacles and other people's success. People who have a more fixed mindset, and I should point out, like, this is not so binary that like you are either a fixed mindset or you are a growth mindset person. In different arenas of our lives, we may be both fixed and growth, while in others we may be fixed or growth, though some people may in their life be largely fixed or largely growth mindset oriented. Certainly as teachers, we always believe ourselves to be growth mindset. We want to believe that our kids are growth mindset. But a classic example of teachers, even if we are a growth mindset, still having some fixed ideas would be in cases like technology for some of our more veteran teachers. Like, even though you want your students to come in and learn something new every day, sometimes teachers will say, yeah, but the computer thing really isn't for me. And I know that everybody in their 20s and 30s may be listening right now and nodding their head like, yeah, I've heard that from teachers. But you may be doing the same thing as it relates to these new technologies. And that's sort of crazy to think about it, because even though we are a younger generation of teachers, either these Xennials or these millennial teachers, things like, oh, Snapchat, yeah, I don't really get it, so I'm not going to do it. A very fixed mindset trait is to say that the obstacle that you're encountering is somehow not worth it, or it's somehow of little value, limited value. And by, I guess, diminishing its value, then it's not an obstacle worth your time for conquering. Because if you believe that you are born with the right stuff and you are of the elite or the elect, you know, like the few good men, it's a real threat to your understanding of self if a thing of value you can't conquer. You get very defeated. You give up easily, we find with the fixed mindset. Fixed mindset peoples also tend to react to the success of others with resentment and jealousy. And we all have these traits in ourselves. It's not like I said, it's a good or bad thing. But when they see someone in a class pointing out that maybe they've done really well on an exam or on a project or a test, the type of reaction you'll get from a fixed mindset is, well, the teacher really likes that person. Because again, that fixed understanding of good gets good is really thrown off if good gets anything less than good. So that's something we see about the fixed mindset. Likewise, when they see challenges or obstacles, they see very little reason to persist in those challenges. There's a great line in the TV show The Office where I think Andy Bernard, who's like the spoiled country club, you know, trust fund kid, says Andy Bernard does not lose games. He either wins them or quits them because they are unfair. That is a classic case of a fixed mindset, that somebody who sees a game is getting too hard will immediately blame the game, or blame the ref, or blame the other team, so that they don't have to face those growth things in themselves. And you can see the application here as it relates to like sports, right? In Beck's book, she talks about John McEnroe, one of the best tennis players of all time, being a type of person who is a classic fixed mindset, born with incredible talent, peaked very, very early in his life and his career, and achieved incredible success at a very young age. But McEnroe was also equally famous for his tantrums on the court, throwing rackets, kicking nets, yelling at spectators or referees. And it was every time that he would lose, or every time a point or a match wouldn't go his way, there was a million things that could get blamed for it. Looking extrinsically for the type of things, oh, the referee made a poor judgment, or the court was, you know, just too wet, or the racket was not tight or light enough. All these things that we can point to as a fixed mindset, because for McEnroe, if he was anything less than great in that game, that would be a real blow to his ego, because he believes himself to be born with the best. And that makes sense, because he is one of the best. But it makes also sense that he would, in some ways, be limiting his own behavior by his ability to, or inability, to see that some of the fault lies inside. Comparing this, they talk about with the growth mindset, which basically is the opposite of all those things. They see obstacles as challenges, opportunities for growth and overcoming. They see the success of others as something to ascribe to. That person did well, so they must know something I don't know. What can I learn from them? They don't tend to give up easily. We talk about the work of Paul Tough and the book Grit. Children succeed through the grittiness, right? We talked about that in all these education circles, that we want our kids to like have perseverance, have resiliency, have the willingness to keep try again. And a good example of this was Tom Brady is a really good example from the NFL. Drafted like 199th overall in the NFL draft. They say he's always played like he has a chip on his shoulder, like he has something to prove about that they were wrong for having drafted him that late. He was small, he was undersized, he's slow. He's conventionally an okay quarterback on paper with all the things you'd look for in the combine or the draft. And in the very first day of his time with the New England Patriots, he approached Bob Kraft, the owner, and shook his hand on the field, and he says, "Hi, Mr. Kraft, you're the owner." He says, "Yeah." He goes, "I'm Tom Brady." He goes, "It's nice to meet you." And he goes, "I just want to let you know I'm the best investment your franchise will ever have made." And, like, that is a very first day, very big claim, very audacious sort of place to start. But it follows back to, like, the Muhammad Ali quote, right? It's not bragging if you can back it up. And Brady set out to be the best. One of my most I guess, fascinating stats about Brady is that for the better part of like 15 years of his career, he never lost two games back-to-back, whether it was in high school or college or his early years in the NFL. If he got beat, he would go home and work that much harder for the following week. They say even to this day in the New England Patriots camp, after he's already won 5 Super Bowls and is arguably like the greatest of all time type quarterback or in that conversation, he's still the first person in the building, and he's still the last person out at night. And that's endemic of that growth mindset. What they find with growth mindset people is that they tend to peak later than everyone, but they tend to have no upside or no downside. Like, there's an infinite upside to what they can do because they're willing to keep pushing and keep growing. And even late in their careers or late in their efforts, they tend to always want to get better. So that's that, and that's how that works. And it's not just a matter of patting on the back and saying, hey, you can do it, good try. It's about praising the process. It's not about praising the product. It's about pushing students to ask questions of themselves about, even when they did well, what they can do to improve for the next time. And Dweck is really, really great at the psychology of how people work and why it works. So I really encourage, if you have a chance, to at least check out a YouTube video or two about how it works. That's it for this week. Thank you so very much for paying attention. Would love very much to pay attention to you. Please feel free to tweet at me, and we'll have a mindset conversation on Twitter. See you next time.